Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph.
How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Well, we started off shaking the Monday morning blues with the Due Time crew, and we continued our conversation from last week when we identify with how you and if you are losing your identity in a relationship. Yes. You know what happens when you, you know, get with that new boo thang and, you just don't know what to do with yourself. Well, we talked about neglecting your alone time. Now, how does this work? You know, you don't spend any more time with yourself. You don't know what you look like anymore. You always got to be underneath that person. Oh, yep, the Due Time crew agrees that that is definitely a sign that you are losing yourself in the relationship. Okay? What about allowing your own individual opinion to kind of fade off into the sunset? Well, yep. That's one way of knowing that you have officially lost your own identity within the relationship. Yeah. So, you know, these are the kind of things that, you know, we're talking about. What about becoming codependent? We talked about that. And he's or she's your new priority. Now, it's one thing to, you know, this person becomes your new priority because they're new in your life. And, you know, you definitely have to make time for the individual. However, when everything is about them and nothing is about you, or when everything about them matters but nothing about you matters, yeah, we got problems. And that might be a sign that you have lost your identity in the relationship. So we don't want that to happen. We still have tons and tons and tons of indicators. And, I just might do that. You know, and you know what? It's Let's Talk About It Tuesday. I just might do the rest of them today, or at least some of them today, okay? All right, yeah. Because I still think we really kind of missed out on some of them, you know, of the other ones. So, okay. Well, this week's switch tip with Sean Teeth will support the week when it's you. Yes, when it's you. You know, you can't be so, you know, understanding and, you know, sympathetic and empathetic on other people. But when it comes to you, you're so hard on yourself. And you don't give yourself any leeway. Now, we're not talking about going to that extreme and you just all twisted and you don't give yourself any, hold, you know, yourself to any responsibility. We're not talking about that, so slow down. Once you get this all out of context, but definitely take care of you. Take care of you the same way you would take care of someone else. And guess what? Isn't that what the Bible says? Love thy neighbor as thyself. Okay? Which is an indicator that we need to be taking care of ourselves. So this week, we're not just going to support the weak. We're going to support the weak when it's you. Okay? All right. So that's how we did it yesterday to start our week and to definitely shake off that Monday morning blues. Okay? Okay. Well, today is Let's Talk About It Tuesday Church Folk Day. Yes, 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 yes. It's Let's Talk About It today. And I got some stuff that I can talk about. And like I said, I think I want to go back to some of those ways you're losing your identity in a relationship. I still think, you know, we can cover a little bit of that. So make sure you go get that healthy breakfast. Make sure you go tell a friend that It's Due Time with Pastor Steph is on. And make sure you don't go anywhere because we will be right back.
An important message for people with diabetes. Diabetic neuropathy is a serious complication of diabetes. One in two people with diabetes has it. Damaged nerves can cause stinging, burning, tingling, numbness, or weakness in your feet and hands. You can be very sensitive to touch, and everyday activities can cause extreme pain. But it's not too late. Contact the American Diabetes Association at 1-800-DIABETES or diabetes.org, or talk to your doctor.
Welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, and you're on, you know, with us this morning, and I'm so happy to have you with us on Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. Yes! We got some stuff that we need to be talking about, and, you know, for the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about, you know, opportunities that, you know, we get to see whether you have lost your identity in a relationship. And there are so many that I think I want to take a little bit of time this morning to go over some other ones. Yeah. So. And maybe I'll come across something that you can identify with. Yeah. Well, what are the ways that you can tell that you have lost your identity in the relationship is constantly talking about the relationship. Oh my goodness. Have you ever had that person, all they talk about is him, or her, man, is that annoying or what? Now, listen, feel free to join the conversation. I want to hear, you know, I want to hear from you. I want to get your feedback. And I want to see what you think. But, yeah, constantly talking about the relationship. You know, why do we always have to hear about everything you did and how great he is and oh, he's so this and he's so that. Yeah, that is definitely one that shows that you have definitely lost your identity in the relationship. Ooh, what about this one? Basing your self-image on the way he or she sees you. What about that one? Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. You know, when you had a self-image one way, and then when he or she came around, you started switching up because, you know, he or she talked about, you know, the way they prefer you look. I think Tamika's the one who talked about that. You know, he didn't like her in pants. He didn't like her in skirts. And, you know, it does adjust your self-image if you then decide to, you know, she said she packed up all her stuff and threw them out. So, yeah, that's an adjustment of self-image right there. Okay. Oh, wow. Now check this one out. Downplaying your differences. Now that's one. That's one. You know, when you don't examine, you know, what that you like this and he likes that, and you kind of stick to it, but you, instead you kind of again make that adjustment, you know, as to, oh, you know, green is nice. And you always like orange. But, you know, green is not that bad. You know, there's different shades of green. And, you know what? I like that mint green. That mint green. Yeah. You know, come on. You're not going to like everything. And they talked about this yesterday. You're not going to like everything the other person likes. So just stand your ground. Stand your ground. Well, oh, okay. Here we go. And I think Brother Al talked about this. The first go round, the people closest to you pointed out. Yeah, that's how you know you've lost your identity in the relationship. Yeah, that's one good way. That is definitely one good way when people start showing you and pointing out stuff to you. Yeah, and a lot of times people don't like that, do they? No, they get all twisted. But listen, if more than one person starts coming to you saying that thing, and especially if they don't know one another, and they keep pointing, and everywhere you turn, somebody's pointing that out. Yeah, you better go check it out. Okay. Wow. What about banking your self-confidence on him? Wow. That has something to do with that self-image. They say the moment you start looking to him for confidence. Wow. Man, you know, it's not until you start talking about this stuff that you actually start, you know, this stuff starts going like, wow, in your head, right? I know. When you start thinking about it, you know, when people start pointing it out and when we start talking about it. And that's one of the reasons why when I saw it, I jumped right on it, because it's a lot of times when you actually start talking about it and, it, you know, some stuff starts coming to the light that you start realizing that, hey, that's me. Or, whoa, is that happening? Yeah. You know when that happens a lot? Yeah, come on, we're going to talk about this thing. Let's talk about it Tuesday. It happens a lot when he cheats. When he or she cheats on you. Yeah. And then you start second-guessing everything. You start second-guessing, you know, your self-image, and, you know, now your confidence is in the toilet, and, you know, because now you're looking for this person to validate whether you're pretty or not, or whether you're thin enough, or, you know, whether you're talented or smart enough, or, you know, you start comparing, you know, that person to yourself. And you begin to lose yourself, you know, in the relationship. I remember I remember years ago, oh my goodness, now, this is before I even had my middle girl, I had a coworker named Stephanie. Oh, I shouldn't have said her name. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, well, y'all don't know where she was. But I had this coworker, and she, and oh my goodness, everything, I'm gonna say his name was Dan. Oh, Dan this, and oh, Dan that. Oh, you know, Dan don't like me to do this, and Dan likes his food that way. Dan likes me to cut his food that way. You know, Dan, you know, wears his pants this way. And everybody would just start looking up in it when she started talking. And what she was like, and I think this was her first. I think he was her first. Reading between the lines, y'all. Reading between the lines. I think this was her first. But, you know, she's all googly-eyed. And they were married. And so she really, you know, everything was based on, you know, this guy. And you know what they say about your first. You know what they say about your first. So check this out. So all of a sudden, one day she comes to work, and she's twisting. And one thing about her, she would tell stuff. She would tell it. You know, I'm more private. I ain't telling all my business. But she, you know, she came to work and she was like, "Do you know Dan cheated on me?" And we were like, "What?" Because, you know, you ain't thinking Dan is going to cheat. You know, not if you cutting Dan's food this way and, you know, all this and all that. And after a while, as time went on, she started talking about what he wanted from her and what he expected from her. And she started telling us how he wanted her to change. And he wanted her to dress this way, and he wanted her to dress that way, and he didn't want her to do this, and he didn't want her to talk like that, and, you know, the little chatter group. We were like, yo, that's the way the other chick is going. And now he's getting her to switch, you know, who she is, so she should lose her identity to now match up with this chick he's cheating with. So finally she gets to work one day. She goes, "Do you know he wants me to do this in the bed?" And we were like, "Oh," because it was something. It was some something. We were like, "Oh!" And she was like, "Yeah." And so she was like, "I'm going to try it." And we were like, "No! No, no, no. No, please don't do that. Don't do that." And, you know, she did. She did try it, and she was very uncomfortable with it. But yeah, I'm talking to some we grown people here. Hey, I ain't got no kids. If you a kid, you need to be in school somewhere. But, you know, she was making these changes, and she was losing her identity for this husband. And, you know, quickly, because none of this stuff. She started changing the way she was dressing and blah, blah, blah. And I don't necessarily see anything wrong with, you know, shifting the way you dress, but make sure it's for you and it's not for him or her, because what's going to happen when you cheat or she starts changing her clothes again and now you got to start changing your clothes? And I think the biggest issue was a lot of the changes that he wanted her to make or that she was making was to really appease what he wanted, because that's what he had gone out and he had, you know, gotten. And we were like, yo, if that ain't you, that ain't you. You know, and listen, I tell my ladies all the time, and I tell my men, you know, long gone the day where, you know, you get into a relationship and, you know, then it's this attitude of, well, they just got to take me as I am. No, people don't. No. You don't have to accept the way you are like that. Not to that degree where you're not willing to modify or to change anything. You know, because no matter who you're with, there's going to have to be some level of adjustment. You know, but we're not talking, again, we're not talking about losing who you are to shift and become someone else. That's not what we're talking about here. And that's what was going on with her and Dan. And we were like, oh my goodness. Well, I have to honestly tell you that she was just who she was, and it didn't work. It did not last for long. Now, they stayed married, but all the stuff that, you know, he wanted, and he was asking her to change and shift and modify, and yeah, that, she couldn't do it. And we knew it. We knew she was just like that. We were like, you sure you could do that? Because we knew. We spent some of the summer. I really spent 8 hours a day with these people. You know your coworkers. And we used to sit in what they call the secretary club. So, and we talked all day long. Oh, my goodness gracious. We talked all day long. So you really got to know your people, you know? So, you know, this is what we're talking about here. We're talking about, you know, when you get to a point where you are no longer who you are because somebody wants you to be different. And, you know, I watched that happen. And like I said, that was, Shorty's 31. So that happened over 31 years ago. And I recently spoke to her maybe about 5 years ago. And they were still married. And they had had, okay, so from that time, she didn't have any children. They didn't have any kids, but they had two kids. Two kids after that, and she was still married, and he had fathered a child on the outside of the marriage. Yeah. And I'm sure it wasn't with that chick. No. And she was furious. Yeah. And the kid was some kind of age by this time I spoke to her. So, you know, see what I'm saying? That's whatever you tried to change, that wasn't you. You know, he got married to you for who you were. And yes, again, you know, we do have to change and make some modifications and stuff like that. But hey, you know, you can't convert into somebody else. And he wants her to be this sex kitten in the bed. Yeah, I mean, yo, this stuff is limited. You know, stuff is limited. So I just, you know, I looked at this list, and there was so many things on this list that we hadn't spoken about. And I still didn't speak about, like, even half of the stuff that's on this list. But that came to my mind. And I just, you know, let's talk about it Tuesday. So I'll talk to you about it. And that's, I hope I gave you something to think about. You know, the due time crew really, you know, they really gave you something to think about over the past couple of weeks. So, you know, hopefully that story will add, you know, to your understanding. And again, you know, people do not have to accept you exactly the way you are. You do have to make some level of change, you know. And sometimes the change is for the better. And, you know, you should be happy. But that's what happens, and this is why we talk about becoming friends. This is why we talk about being friends. Because this stuff matters. When you're friends, you get to see all these things about a person, and if this is not who you ultimately want to be with, then don't bother. Go get somebody else. Okay? All right. Thank you for listening. All right. So, get your pens out, because now we're going to talk about today's stuff. Oh. So they say, do not put these things in the oven anymore. If you have been putting these items in the oven, please stop. Ready? Wax paper. Oh, my goodness. I really hope you all are not putting wax paper. Okay, so don't get it confused with parchment paper. So parchment paper is wax paper for the oven. Okay? And you use parchment paper when you're baking a lot. You know, it helps your food not to stick. All right? And if you put wax paper in the oven, it's going to burn. And it could possibly catch fire. That's how I know. Yeah. I did it on like a trial and error. No, I said it wrong. I tried it. I took a little piece and I put it in there, like in my former life. And I was like, okay, this is becoming crispy. I don't think this is supposed to be crispy. So please do not put wax paper in the oven. If you have been doing it, please stop. Don't do it anymore. Go ahead, get the parchment paper. And listen, parchment paper costs the same amount of money as wax paper. You know, if you're going to use like fish or baking, you know, or cake or whatever have you in the, in the oven, then do that. But definitely no wax paper, okay? All right. They're saying certain glassware is not made for the oven. No. If you put that in the oven, it can shatter. All right? So make sure you check out your items. Not all glassware is made for the oven. Now, most times, I do know this because I am a cook, most times it will indicate on the bottom, made for oven, made for microwave, made for dishwasher. Yes. Okay. Definitely don't want to put your dish in the oven and it cracks. Okay. Make sure you don't put a glassware, even if it is ovenware, do not put it in there empty. And turn on, so in other words, don't warm up the item, the glassware. No, there's no need to, okay? Don't do that. You're going to break up your beautiful glassware, all right? Yes, even the expensive one, all right? Okay, now, they're saying don't put uncontained food, okay? Now, let's see what they're talking about. What are they talking about? I don't even know what this means. Okay, well, I don't know what this means, and I don't want to read it. I don't want to read this whole thing. Because I think it's pretty much what I just got finished talking about. What is uncontained food? Okay, so he says you pack that apple pie dish to the brim, and now you can hear it sizzling, hissing, and popping. Should you have put it on the sheet pan first? Sure, you can leave it if it's still okay. Okay, why you just didn't say that? So sometimes you may, if you pack your casserole dish up to the top, it's going to leak over. So they say always put it in something. The uncontained food, that's dumb. Okay, that's what they're saying. Put it in something, or put it on the top shelf, on the top rack, and put the other thing on the bottom rack so it could catch it. But sometimes, like for certain baking, you can't put it in something because it changes the temperature of the food and it won't cook right. It won't bake right. So be careful when you're doing that. Be careful, okay? All right. Well, they say do not put frozen food that needs to be thawed prior to cooking. All righty? Now, certain things you can put in there, like chicken nuggets, pizza, you know, stuff like that. But they say, please don't try to put your Thanksgiving or Christmas turkey in there without it being completely thawed out, because it ain't going to work. Okay, but you know that already, right? Absolutely. You know that already. All right. I don't have to tell you everything, right? Okay. Okay. So those are the things that they're saying. Please do not put in the oven any longer if you're doing it. Stop right away. It can be dangerous. All righty? All right. So let's talk about some news. What are we going to talk about first? Well, check this out. In California, now I know we all have different rules and things like that when it comes to different entities of, you know, care. You know, sometimes, you know, the hospitals work a little differently. But for the most part, everybody has pretty much the standard level of care. Well, they say a police officer showed up to a care facility and ran in past the EMS. So when he got there and the EMS was already there. He, in his busyness and his haste, he ran in, didn't realize that he ran in past the EMS. So when he got inside, he saw, you know, the nurses, you know, trying to give this gentleman cardiac arrest. And, of course, if he didn't care for somebody, he's probably an elderly man, trying to give him, you know, he's in cardiac arrest, rather, and he's trying to give him, chest compression. And he was like, well, why are you yelling and the people are right outside? And they were like, they won't come inside. I said, what do you mean they won't come inside? Because they had an order, quote unquote, to stay out of the facility. And the order was that you had to bring the patient outside to them. That at one time, they were told that they could not enter into these care facilities. You know what? They said that order came back from April 2020. So they were talking to the 911 operator who was telling them, no, they're supposed to be on the inside. Do you know these punks would not go inside? So the cop actually helped them push the bed to the outside. Man, oh man, yes. They said they were begging, the employees were begging. Because see, here's the way it works. In these care facilities, they do not have the equipment to really service the patients when they get to that point of cardiac arrest. So they don't have, like, certain defibrillators. They don't have intubation tubes. They don't have IV, certain types of IV methods and things like that, or certain medications they don't have. So they need the EMS to come as quickly as possible so that they can take over where the care facility ends. They refused to go inside. Refused to go inside. And, you know, these people are now on, leave. They put them on leave because they said that, no, that's old. They have long gone these old rules because that was what was going on at that time. And the mayor had an opportunity to watch the tape. Somehow or another, this was caught on camera, and the mayor watched it and was definitely not pleased. Okay? So while the people were on the phone yelling, you know, they said you're supposed to go in, the EMS was told them, wait, I saw it, and I was like, wow. He told them, we're not going in, and if you don't like it, call your government, call your congressman. They are something else. These people are something else. That's what they told the people. No, I don't care what they're telling you. What they're telling you on on the other end of that phone, we're not going in. And if you don't like that policy, you need to call your congressman. Now, can you imagine the paramedics standing there on the outside of the facility, waiting for you to bring the patient out? And the nurse was explaining to them, let me tell you something. They already knew. You couldn't move the man. How you moving the man and you doing chest compressions? So you're supposed to stop doing chest compressions to move the man? So that's when the cops took and moved the bed all the way out to where they were. So needless to say, they need to be fired. Forget the leave. Forget anything. Just get rid of them. Remember yesterday we were like, kill them, kill them, kill them? Well, fire them, fire them, fire them. Yeah, they don't need a job. They don't want a job. Because in a way in the world, you're going to tell me that this makes sense to you. And their whole premise was, well, you know what? It's not safe for us to go in. We don't want to take any germs in. Because remember, that's what was going on last year with the nursing facility. So they carried that garbage straight into this year, and the man is dead. Yeah, he died. He died. Now, you know, we just got finished talking last week. We got the news from Vivian about the couple who was responsible for their son carrying the gun to school. Well, this week we've got another story. A mother and son have been found guilty of killing a 7-year-old boy with a machete. So here's how this story goes. Miss Nicola Layton was furious when one of her son's friends kept knocking on the door looking for one of her boys. Well, her 17-year-old son, I believe. Well, her 19-year-old son found out that they were bothering his mother and gathered up all his friends, and they got into their Jeep, a very distinctive red Suzuki 4x4 Jeep, and chased down this young man and fatally stabbed him. And this happened out in London, and what they ended up finding out was they chased him down and they stabbed him with the machete. And it was all because he was angry because this boy kept knocking on the door, bothering his mother. So after they did some research, they found out that, so he's like, okay, well, why is mom being arrested? Well, mom is being arrested because later on they found out that she was responsible for driving the boys and chasing the kids. Because initially she denied even knowing that these kids went after this young man and stabbed him. No, she drove them, chasing this kid. And the other son finally, said that they, they then stabbed him, taking the weapon and stabbing him. And they're responsible for his murder. Well, somehow or another, he was cleared of murder, but was convicted of manslaughter. And this is after 40 hours of deliberation. So I don't know. It took you 40 hours to clear him of murder when they went and literally chased the mother, drove the kid to chase the young man down and claim she didn't know they had any weapons. How you got a whole machete and you don't know, and somebody else don't know you got the machete? Cut it out. Well, there's three other individuals, a 15, 16, and 17-year-old, or the 16 and 17-year-old, also admitted having weapons, and they were convicted of murder. So I'm lost. I am so lost. How are they convicted of murder, but the other two? Hold on. Yeah, it's no. I'm reading it right. It says he was cleared of murder. You know what? So we're finding that even when these people do manage to get to court, even when they're charged, that they're not even being charged properly. So the 19-year-old gets charged for manslaughter, but the 16 and 17-year-old, they get charged for murder. And they have not reached anything regarding the 15-year-old yet. Yeah. Oh, no, they said they were discharged after failing to reach a verdict on the charge of murder for the 15-year-old. What in the world is going on? I still can't. Everybody needs to go to jail for murder. Y'all literally chased this young man down and killed him with a machete. Man, I tell you, what are you going to do with this here? Whew. Okay, well, our last story this morning, which is really weird. So out in Newark, New Jersey, they are now preventing any organization or any group of people from feeding the homeless in public places. Yes. During the Thanksgiving holiday, you know, they had, you know, different organizations, churches, and people who, you know, cooked food, packed up tables and everything, and, you know, went to various locations to see the homeless. And they came back and said, well, you can't do that anymore. They call it human charity. You're not allowed to get out here and feed the homeless unless you have a permit. So it's now 17 cities here in the United States that require anyone wanting to feed the hungry to get the city's approval first, or they're going to be fined. And they're fighting this now because they've gotten, some lawyers have jumped on the bandwagon, and they're like, hey, this violates the 14th Amendment. Yes, you should be able to freely go out and do something like this. Well, here's my question. If you took care of the people better, then individual entities would not have to do this. So this now brings up an entirely different topic, which we're going to come to later. But yeah, they have this national homelessness law that prohibits, the National Homelessness Law Center is getting together against the ones that are prohibiting you from feeding the homeless. I don't know, people. Give me a holler. 347-285-7777. What are we going to do here? What are we going to do here? Well, listen, there's a lot to talk about today. So let me join our ladies. We have a ladies edition of Church Folk Day. Pastor KL is underneath the weather. You know, he told me he wasn't, you know, he wasn't feeling well. And then he has the nerve to call in. I'm not putting him on. He doesn't feel well. So hopefully he's on to listen. And we appreciate him pressing his way. But you know what? If you're ill, you're ill. And again, after coming off of, you know, my own week of illness, we're going to give him a break today. But giving God thanks that he's not ill, that he has to be taken to some emergency room. Okay, so hey, Pastor KL, thank you for joining us. Well, let's start with Pastor Charlotte today. Good morning, Pastor Charlotte.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you? Feel better, Pastor KL?
I am well, thank you. I'm well. We have tons and tons and tons of stuff to talk about today. Let's start off talking about, you know, I went back into yesterday's conversation as you were on and you heard, and I talked about the coworker, the ex-coworker who, you know, was encouraged to modify who she was to accommodate his ex and sex capades. What do you think? Is that a way of losing yourself or what?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You come in and do you want me to do... That would have been my thought, too, of where did you get this from and who you did this with. So, yes, he's trying to make her become the vision that he has because, you know, he might have found somebody else that's doing whatever. Now he wants her to do it. And for her to feel good and for her, her thought is, I want to keep him. And so she has lost her own identity of in that way because if it was flipped the other way, I wonder what he would say.
Yeah. You know what's funny, Pastor Charlotte? You know, it came out later that he told, we were telling her, we were like, yo, listen, this is what this other chick is doing. And finally, I would say some months down the line, he actually told her, she came to work and she told us that he said, you know, this is the stuff that the chick is doing. So it's no longer a vision. You know, you're getting this from someone else, and now you're bringing this home. And, you know, you are going to lose yourself. Remember now, she's changing her clothes. She's changing the way, you know, she's talking now, and she's changing the way she's dressing. She's changing the stuff in the house. She's changing the stuff in the bed. Oh, my goodness, Pastor Charlotte, is this not losing yourself or what?
Exactly. She don't even know who she is, and she don't even know her name because he be done called her somebody else, and it'll be all right with her because she is so deep within, just like we was talking yesterday. She's so deep within, and when you're there, you know, you don't realize, and no matter, like you said, y'all was talking to her, so her thought was, oh, they jealous, you know, or, you know, he playing mind tricks on her. So once it comes out and you see it for yourself, and that's the hurtful part because now you in so deep and now you in the shame piece, you know, because who are you? You know, we don't even know who you are anymore. You know, your people that's close to you. And that was y'all of talking to her because she confided in y'all. So once she confided in y'all, that was the trust. But on the other side, she had lost who she was. And that's the sad part. Ladies, please don't do that. Please don't do it.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was crazy. I don't want to move on from here. I want to talk to Lady Tamika about it. Thanks for joining us, Pastor Charlotte. I'm coming back. Hey, good morning, Tamika.
Good morning and happy Tuesday.
I
How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you. I'm doing well. You know, as you know, you were on when I was, you know, going over some of the additional things we did not cover over the past 2 weeks with you all, you know, talking about losing your identity, and brought me to my old coworker, and, you know, how everything got flipped, or he wanted, he wanted everything to be all flipped up, you know, and we're talking about truly losing who you are. What are you thinking?
Yeah, that's a really unfortunate situation that she just wasn't seeing, you know, and especially when you're married, you have a rhythm, if you will. There are things that you do, you know, there's a pattern that you're used to. So, you know, we're adults, so there's a certain thing that you do, there's certain ways that you do, you kiss, you hold, you know, and when... Okay, you kiss me that way. That you don't normally kiss me that way. You should have started asking questions. You know, the sad part about it is she got caught into it, you know, with that pleasing role. And I mentioned that yesterday, you know, always trying to please. I'm trying to please you, but you're trying to change me. There's a problem there, and you need to really, really focus. You know, it's one thing when you say, you know, I like the way you dress, but maybe, you know, tweak it up a little bit or maybe tweak it down a little bit. There's not a problem with adjustment, but you trying to change everything about me. My hair is brown. Why did you make me dye it? You know, those type of things, those are real things that you need to pay attention to, because they literally are red flags to let you know, that's a problem.
Absolutely. I got to get to writing my notes. Oh, hold on. You just stimulated a thought. Hold on. Yes, y'all are dealing with a host that has to write stuff down. Okay. Thank you for your patience. Yes, I agree 100%. I got a couple of questions based on what you just said. But before we get there, let me pull in our girl, Shanti. Again, we've got a girls edition this morning on our Let's Talk About It Tuesday Church Folk Day. Oh, Shanti, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
That's good. So listen, you've heard the ladies speaking. You've heard the tale that I told about, you know, really being asked and prodded to change and lose your identity in this relationship, in this marriage.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts based on what you heard?
I think it's really sad. You know, I used to be very, very, very insecure, and I remember having a boyfriend say, you know, to me, like, oh, you should do this, you should do that, you should do that. And even in my very insecure state, it was just like, yeah, you're bugged. I'm not doing all that. Because it's just too tiring. And I actually know of a situation where a husband got a little annoyed and fed up for whatever the reasons were, and he wanted his wife to cut her hair, and I guess she didn't do it quick enough or whatever the case was, and he gave her a haircut himself. And I was like, okay, so I don't know what you put in her food, but both of y'all are crazy, because there's no way you're putting scissors to my hair because you want my hair to be shorter. See, certain things, we ain't going a certain extent, you know, lengths to so that you can be happy, you know. So it's real, it's a lot bigger and a lot more serious than they like to, you know, admit, because they, you know, whether it's the man or the woman who is, you know, demanding these things, you know, and a lot of times they try to be passive aggressive with it. It's like, oh, I just think you should do that. After the third suggestion, it is just too much. That's enough suggestions. Just leave it alone. But, yeah, it becomes way too much.
But wait a minute. Now, were they married?
Yes.
Wow. Woo, baby. Wow. Okay. So let me ask you, ladies. You know, initially when I was talking, I was saying, you know,
people go into relationships, you know, some people go into relationships and they're like, well, listen, you know, I'm not changing at all. You got to accept me the way I am, you know, and I'm saying, no, you cannot go into every relationship with the same mentality. You got to accept me the way I am. I'm not changing at all. You met me like this. No, there has to be some modification somewhere to fit who and where you are in life and who you're with. And I'm not saying lose yourself, needless to say, because I wouldn't be bringing up the topic at all. But do you feel that there has to be at least some small level of modification when you go into every different relationship? And I'm going to start with you, Lady Tamika.
I think that there is a level of transition for every relationship because every individual is different. You know, what appealed to the individual in the last relationship may not necessarily appeal to the person that you're engaging with now. And so there needs to be a level of transition, a level of giving. That's where this talking thing is important, you know, so that you find out the essential things in the beginning so that you're not wasting your time. You know, for instance, you know, he smokes and you can't stand cigarette smoke, so you're just going to deal with it for... No, you decide what it is that you want to take, what it is that you want to give, and you work together to make it work.
All right. Ashanti, you know, what's your thought? You know, do you feel that, you know, just some level of modification has to be made based on who you're dating now?
Yes, because we're called to be gentle and compassionate, and some people need a little more gentleness and compassion than the next person. So, you know, yes, like I can be very aggressive at times. And I have learned that even in friendships, I can't be the same friend to each friend. There's a level of tweaking that has to be done. And it doesn't mean that I'm being fake, but there's just a different part of Shantice that has to come out depending on which friend I'm around at the time. So it's the same thing with a relationship. It doesn't mean that now I become a completely different Shantice, but now it just means that, you know, my compassion just has to show a lot more. And maybe in another relationship, I have to be aggressive a little more. So it really goes with you making sure you're paying attention to the person and you're studying the person and you understand what that person needs from you.
Okay. What about you, Pastor Charlene? Do you agree that or disagree that, you know, there has to be some level of modification, you know, based on who you did?
Absolutely. Because just like the lady said, that we have to, it's like a balance of where that some people need a little different on this end and some needs a little different on that end. And you have to be able to, some things, you know, you have to compromise on. You know, and where that everybody is important of their feelings, of who they are, you know. And then that's how you introduce new things, you know, because you might be just doing one thing and, you know, and then I come along and I say, well, why don't you try, let's try ice skating. You ever been ice skating, you know, of something that I like, where that you have opened up the door and then now you learn something different, you know, or cooking together. You know, this is the only way that they prepare a meal. What about let's try to do, you know, tacos, you know what I mean? But they never made them or, you know, so it's a balance of even in the relationship. And I'm talking about as far as married people of doing things together, because you will get lost. And that's something that you don't want to do. So you have to be able to share things that you like. You know, and then, yes, there are some things that we will have to, you know, I don't really like you going out all the time with your friends. I want you to spend time with me. Well, there's four weekends in a month. So, you know, we decide two of them, you know, we'll spend together and the other two, you know, one, you do your own thing or go out with your friends. So there's where there's a balance and you never lose who you are. Okay. You ladies brought out some really, really good points. The other question I want to ask, and this is an individual thing, how much are you willing to change? Now, you know, I thought about that for a couple of different reasons as you ladies were talking. Shantice was talking about, you know, the husband who wanted, you know, her hair cut, and because she didn't go get it quick enough, he gonna cut the hair and things like this. How much, whether it's cosmetic, whether it's, you know, personality, what are you willing to change? How much are you ultimately willing to change, Pastor Charlotte?
How much am I willing? And reasonable. I can't put an amount on it because it's depending on what you're asking me. Now, one, cutting my hair and you just go cut it. If you cut my hair, I'm going to cut you something. I don't know what, but cut you. So, and I did not want my hair cut. So it really depends. But if you say, you know, you like this hairstyle, you know, using that as example. And I said, oh, well, maybe I don't really like that one, but maybe if it's a little short on this side and a little long on that side, you know, something weird that we can meet in the middle. So I can't really say how much, but I know I'm not going to lose me. I'm not going to lose me. That's like somebody telling me, he tell me I can't talk. You know, that would not go over well with me. You know, I'm an outgoing person and I talk a lot. So for a person to come along and they tell me that I can't talk and all I can do is sit in the corner and be quiet, it wouldn't work. So okay. Really for me, it just depends what it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about you, Tamika? You know, what are you, how much are you willing to change? What are you willing to, you know, do? You know, to hold on to your, you know, your marriage. Let's talk about marriage. We ain't talking about just know any old man. So what's your marriage?
All right. So I don't have a problem with some tweaking, some transition, because I think it is necessary in relationships to make it work. But when it gets to the point where my thought, my individuality is in question or is an offense to you, and I'm not free to be me, you know, I will tell you, I'm a unique individual, you know, and some of the things that I do may be a little strange. So, you know, okay, fine. I might tweak it a little bit, but when it gets to the point where, again, my individuality, my thought, who I am is now coming to jeopardy because you're uncomfortable with it, then maybe you need to switch, you know, because that's a problem. I will be willing to change some things, but you can't change completely who I am.
Okay. Shanti, what about you? Are you willing to, you know, to change? If someone, your husband asks you, you know, hey, you know, can you do this a little different? Or I really like that, you know. What are you willing to compromise? Are you talking to the mute button?
Yes, I was. I'm sorry.
Okay.
You have three suggestions, so choose wisely. Is anything more than that, you want a whole other wife. I'm not about to sit here and listen. There is something to, you know how I am. I'm very big on, you know, I never give you an opportunity to say you didn't know something about me. Like Pastor Charlene, I talk a lot. You pretty much know my whole life story by the second date.
Oh, no.
I tell a lot of stuff. So now, you know, granted, you know, if you see something that you think needs to, you know, be adjusted, that you see as a hazard with me, you know, in general, not just as your wife. But okay, but yeah, after the third one, it's like, all right, you want a whole other person, and you might as well go ahead. It becomes too much. And a lot of times when people, very rarely do you find people who say, oh, I think you should change it, I think you should change that. very rarely is it something that really needs to be changed. A lot of time it's just their preference. I was like, yeah, no, you got three things, so you better sit down, make a list, cross out what you don't think is that important. I don't want to hear anything after the third one.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, ladies, for indulging me. Thank you so much. I want to hit this news, and then I want to talk about something that the Bible says, and you know, see if the world wants us to change what God wants us to do. Okay. Well, what about this mom and son and this machete attack? You know, you have where the son and the mom were charged, but the son, the 19-year-old son, was dropped. You know, the charge was dropped from a murder charge to a manslaughter charge, but the 16 and the 17-year-old get charged as for murder. Shanti, what's going through your head?
Wait, so all her sons were in the car with her?
No, just one particular son, the 19-year-old. She took the 19-year-old son, a 16 and 17, and a 15-year-old friend. They all jumped in the car and all went after the 17-year-old. And she tried to say that she didn't know they had weapons. But he was stabbed with a machete. How didn't you know that? And he was murdered. So now they've been charged. And the 19-year-old son and the mother, they are both, how did they start off? They've been found guilty of killing this 17-year-old boy. But the 19-year-old son, his charge went from, based on the jury, changed it. They say he was cleared of murder, but convicted of manslaughter. Now, if you chased him down, why are you dropping this charge? You know, they always got these legalities going on.
Ain't no legalities. It's favoritism. Because had it been somebody on this side of the fence chasing anybody, they could have been chasing him with a double dutch rope. They would have gotten life or the lethal injection or something. But as the mother, regardless of, and like you said, okay, how do you not know he didn't have a machete? You knew that they were trying to go and hurt this boy somehow, some way. You were hunting him down. So you were hunting him down to be verbal with him. There was going to be some type of physical transaction that was going to go down once you caught up to him. So regardless of the fact, she needs to be charged with murder as well. I don't understand how the 19-year-old's charge, who actually did the stabbing, went from murder to manslaughter, and then especially the other ones who didn't physically attack him, now they're facing murder. Everything is just so twisted nowadays. I don't know, but the mother, she should definitely get charged for murder, because that's what they've been doing a lot of the past few years. It's like, if you're part of the conspiracy, if you're part of the plotting, if you have anything to do with it, you get charged just like the person who actually committed the crime gets charged. So I don't know how that's not playing out like that, but
yeah.
And all because they was knocking on the door?
Yeah, because he kept knocking on the door and they were bothering. He was mad because they were bothering his mother. Yes, and they are on our side of the fence.
They're on our side of the fence?
They are on our side of the fence.
They were high. Well, listen, Pastor Steph, I just don't love you that much to be chasing nobody down with no machete. Cause they was, and listen, I don't like nobody knocking on my door either, because if I knew you were coming, I'm already at the door opening the door for you. So anytime I hear a knock on my door, I get an attitude, because first thing I think of is it's an uninvited guest. But there's no way I'm chasing you down because you are knocking on my door. That's just a whole other level of schizophrenia. Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
This is a bit much. This is a bit much. This is a bit much. Pastor Charlotte, you know, is this fair? Is this justice? You know, the 19-year-old dropped his charges from murder to manslaughter, but the 16 and 17-year-old, they're going away from murder.
No, it is not fair. Everybody should go down for murder. And my thought was, you know your kids, so you know what you would say to one that, and what you would say to someone else. So my thought also was, because of her going to her son and telling him, what else did you say to make him want to?
Right.
You said that he's bothering you. What did you mean by he's bothering you? What else did you say with he's bothering me to make you, you know, to make him rather to want to get this machete? Yes, you knew what he had because you knew evidently the he went to get his friends, so you knew who he was going to call, and you just get in the car and you say everybody get in. You're just as deep in as well. So everybody should go down for it. Chasing him? You didn't just chase him. You said something else. You're not going to just say, oh, you know, he just keep ringing my bell. Oh, no, he just keep calling my phone. Mm-mm. You said more than that for him just to do that. And multiple times of you telling him. So he got, so that's where he got. Come on.
Absolutely, absolutely. Tamika, does this make any sense? The 16 and 17-year-old ain't going for murder. But the 19-year-old is only going for manslaughter.
Absolutely not. I'm trying to figure out who knew, you know, who do you know that, you know, you're the one that gets off? Do you know somebody in the jail? Do you have a great uncle or something? You know, I'm just trying to figure out. And my thing is, if we all had a part, if we all played a role, then we all go down, you know? I just don't understand that. You know, the other thing that comes to mind is, why are we so easily ticked off? You know, we're talking about from, you know, and it's in the bloodline. The mother's ticked off by the visitor, and she obviously, it's in the bloodline because she's annoyed by the visitor, and then the boys just flip off and decide, okay, we're going to get a machete and go, you know, who does that? I mean, you're going to kill somebody simply because they're knocking on the door? Where's your authority to tell this child, listen, go away and don't come back? You know, why does your resolve come in ending this young man's life?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Where you're getting in a car and chasing him. The question, one of
right.
you said, you know, what are you questioning? You know, what did Pastor Charlotte said? What did you say to him? Well, hello, how in the world? You ain't had to say nothing. You're the driver of the car. You had to say, come on. You had to say, come on. You driving the car. So, yeah, this is a bit much. This is a bit much. All righty. I want to weigh in really quickly on the paramedics who stayed outside, who would not go in and help with this life-saving process for this person in distress. I'll start with you, Tamika.
I often see, as the days are going by, that people just don't care for people, you know. And just using common sense sometimes, or just trying to look at it from another perspective. You're standing outside. Somebody's literally within the throes of their life. You couldn't just go in to try and help. I'm just not understanding where your compassion, where feeling what that looks like didn't kick in. You were willing to not even try to put a hand in, even when other people who it's not their position to help took and played a role that you should have been doing. This is your job. I just don't understand, you know, how it didn't occur to you that you know, maybe I should play a role. Maybe I should do something. Everybody else is moving around you, and you're just standing there watching the scene play in front of your eyes. Fired. Please fire him.
Fire, fire, fire. I agree. Pastor Charlene, you know, they said that, you know, well, we were told that we could not go in because, you know, we don't need to be a threat or we don't need to be exposed to any unhealthy environment. So as long as you bring the patient out to us, we'll help. Both of them, both of the paramedics, not just one, both of them.
Right, because that's what I was going to ask you. Don't it normally be two? So now y'all both are standing outside. First of all, let me get fired some more, and find. I'll be done found a whole bunch of stuff.
Ooh.
Because as for that job, you're supposed to have feelings and having a love to save people, to get in that, to have that kind of a job, you know. And for you to stand outside and hearing the first, knowing that this person needs your help, and second, of seeing other people in there screaming, trying to help this man, and you're standing there, what kind of compassion do you have for this human being? So you should not have that job if you thought that it was okay. Now, even though that they said that you can't go in, and you, once they bring them outside, you're going to be around the people anyway. So what is the difference?
Right.
Once they get inside your truck.
Right.
Fire. Yep.
Shanti, what do you say? What's the fate?
I agree, fired. You know, I really hope these paramedics don't start acting like these cops, where it's like, well, I just want to make sure I make it home safe. You know of the risk when you take on this job. You know, you're no different than, it's like as a paramedic, you just play maybe a different area of like a nurse. You know, you have to be around sick people. When you're called, when people call the ambulance, when people call, you don't know exactly what you're going to, you know, face, what you're going to come up against when you enter these homes or these jobs or wherever you're needed. So now you're going to say, you get to pick and choose how you help someone in that type of position. It doesn't make any sense. And, yeah, you just need to switch careers. But you shouldn't have an option because you should be blacklisted. You know, you shouldn't be able to look for work for the next 15 years, because that's disgusting.
Wow.
I've never heard of you being able to pick and choose how you're going to save someone's life. That's like,
you ladies are pouring it on. You ladies are pouring it from a fire fine and banned from working for the next 15 years. Oh, my. Ooh, I know they need to be happy that you're not in any level of authority. Woo! Well, we get to our last story, and this is the one I really want to hang our hat on today, because it kind of goes into another area of the should we, shouldn't we. What are we ultimately responsible for? So you have the city law that says that you cannot bust out your table, napkins, plates, and forks, a bucket with juice in it, and feed the homeless people unless you have a permit or you will be fined. What kind of law is this, first of all? Why are we here, Pastor Charlene? Why are we here?
We're here because of the fact that they don't want to take care of the homeless. So why are you... We're about God's business, so therefore we are to help one another, and we see a need. That's why we go out. This is passion to my heart, because that's what we do, you know, and with that, we go out there and, you know, and we're able, they look forward for you to come. They looking forward for someone to help them, because every person that's homeless doesn't necessarily, some of them work. I've heard some of their stories. Some of them work, but they just fell or, you know, on finance where that they're not able to pay the rent. You know, some of them have mental issues. Some of them, you know, there's so many different reasons of why they're out there, especially the ones that have served, you know, in the service, you know. And so if you don't do it and then we don't do it, then ain't, some people don't have anything. So we should not get fined for that. But you need to do, if you don't want us to do it, then you need to get a team to come out, and not just for the holidays. These people are hungry every day. You think that they're not going to be hungry the next day? So why you can't go out there and do it if you don't want us? But what's going to happen is if we all come together and go out there, then what they're going to do? Arrest everybody. All we got to do is continue to keep going and find that same lawyer that's getting these kids off where they don't have murder charges, that we can find them to come and take care of our case, too. That's crazy.
Wow. Well, as you were talking, as Pastor Charlotte was talking, Lady Tamika, I'm looking here, and I was looking for this earlier. It says, the ordinance the city is working on will prohibit agencies and individuals without a permit from feeding residents without addresses. All violators will be ticketed and fined. What is your thought behind that, Tamika?
I'm looking at right before the pandemic, or even years before that, for years, I've lived the majority of my life in New York. I've seen homeless people on the street. I've seen people on the subway, you know, and I've seen other people who have other situations, you know, where they have a sheltered life, you know, because people automatically think when you think homeless, you're just thinking about the person who lives on the subway and that type of thing. You have individuals who are really just having a hard time. They have difficulty trying to figure out, okay, do I pay this bill or do I eat? You know, and so if I want to go out of my pocket and give you some money, or if I want to go and get you something to eat, who are you to tell me that I can't? You know, I'm not selling anything. I'm not, you know, I'm not asking them to purchase something. I can understand if I was a vendor, you know, out on the street selling items. I am from the depths of my heart trying to help somebody who needs assistance. So who are you to tell me that I can't? That is a serious problem. And the bad thing about it is it took a pandemic for them to even make any measures to try and help people. And I'm talking about those that are literally living on the streets and on the subways. It took them that long to even try to even help in any way, shape, or form. I haven't seen a person, you know, in that condition that's, you know, been living on the subway in for quite a while. You know, there are a few, because I, you know, I know one in my, on my, at my particular station. However, it took that to get you to even make the first step. And I think, again, it's the lack of compassion for you trying to help people that's caused this issue. So if I as an individual, or if I as an entity, or I as a church, or whatever corporation that I choose to connect myself with wants to help, then you shouldn't be able to stop me.
Ah, all righty. Shanti, what is going through your head when you hear them say stuff like, you know, you are prohibited from feeding residents without addresses? Am I going to ask you to bust out an ID before I care about whether you eat first?
So I can't bust out the silverware and eat with or feed the a homeless human being, but I can bust out the silverware and sit and eat with the rats of New York City.
Ooh.
It's very, 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 very remedial and backwards. I believe they're just running out of things to annoy us with. They're running out of ways to make money. And this is just another way to make money, because they know that there are missionaries out here. They know that there are organizations whose foundation is based on feeding the less fortunate. And like Lady Tamika said, not only the actual people who live on the street, but just the people who struggle throughout the days and the weeks and the months, you know, who need the help. So it's just back. It's just another way for them to make money. They're relying on catching people so that they can find them and now collect that and use it for stuff that doesn't matter. They're not going to use the fine to now set up more shelters or, you know, or more soup kitchens or anything like that. The fine is going to go to now make the rich richer or to do some stuff that they just ain't got no business doing. But, yeah, it's they'd rather us eat with the rats than to actually look over at another human who is eating out of the garbage. It's very slow.
Well, this takes us to a passage in the Bible that, you know, Jesus spoke about. He says, you know what? I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. You didn't feed me. You didn't clothe me. You didn't give me something to drink. You did not come visit me when I was in prison. You know, this is our charge as people of God, to go out into the world and see about God's people. And, you know, here we are, again, being prevented from doing what God has us and has laid out for us to do. Well, what's your thought, Pastor Charlotte? Since you know, this is something that, you know, your church does or whatever have you, you know, and you're going with, you know, what the Bible is telling you to do, God's putting it on your heart to do, and now you have the actual city fighting you from doing God's work.
We just trust and believe that, first of all, we know that when we do something for the Lord, it doesn't matter what the enemy say. And we've had some where that, you know, people have come up and said that they wanted, the people will complain about the line of the people of the homeless being around, you know, and it's our heart that will keep us, long as we stay like Jesus, you know, and that's what I tell them. Don't argue with the people. Let me be able to, you know, address them, you know, because it can be you. And that's what I always look at. It could be us. You know, we just a check away. We're just, you know, a few pennies away of not having. You know, everything is going up. So if we just continue to do, God has us. God is going to cover us. When the people have come and, you know, like the police always come when there's a big crowd, per se. And because the people on the block has complained, you know, so they had to shut it down for a period of time because we have few pantries on the same block too. So, but my thought, what I have said to them is where that us as the body of Christ, if we don't do it, how are we showing the love of Christ through us? If we know that somebody does not have, and we have something, even if it's just a piece of bread, we should be able to take that bread and slice it up and be able to share. We have so much stuff in our homes that, you know, like clothes, we don't wear stuff that we don't even use no more. And you see a need of someone, you are supposed to give it to them. If we keep it to ourselves, we're selfish. If we don't allow the people to be able to see the love in different areas. You get up, you want to speak the word to them. You want to be able to pray for them, but show somebody needs to see action. You know, so you have to be able to be that action person. You know what? I thought about you. You know, walk by somebody, give them a bag. You know, you have food in your hand and you see somebody that's hungry. Just like Chauncey says, eating in the garbage. Here, baby, take this food. You know, let us be able to go in the store and buy them. So what do you want to eat? You know, we have to get to that place of showing Christ more than just walking by and giving them a few pennies or don't say nothing to them. You know, we have to get to that place. That's why it's so dear to my heart, because you have to be able to have yourself open, to be able to feed them, to be able to clothe them. What you are doing for someone else, it's like you're doing it for Christ. And people don't see that. People don't see that. You know, they'll sit there. I've seen people sit among people that's hungry with their children, and you're sitting there eating with a sandwich when you're still going home and having food in your house. No, we're not going to do that. Get a knife, cut that sandwich up, and give it to all of them kids. That's what we are going to do. Show me where that Jesus didn't help somebody. Show me where that the disciple, he didn't have the disciples to sit and to be able. It even talks about when he lifted up the fish and the, I was going to say, I'm sorry, the bread, you know, and he was able to feed everybody. We give them the word with as food, so feed them. Show them that we're able to feed them and clothe them. Take something out of your house and be able to give to someone. It's winter now. You know, you got the homeless. Go buy a blanket because there's a homeless somewhere close to your house. Go give them a blanket.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you, Pastor Charlotte. Tamika, you know, we're talking about the Bible, you know, where Jesus is telling us, you know, listen, I need you to go out there and I need you to feed my people. I need you to clothe my people. I need you to give them something to drink. I need you to visit them in prison. And here we have it where we're executing, you know, what God is in Jesus is telling us to do. And yet we have the authorities that are stopping us from doing it. What do we do?
I'm looking at it in a different way. You know, the enemy's design is always to stop God's plan. And so if I put the ideal that there is a reprimand for you doing God's will, for you doing God's word, for you assisting people, it'll you know, if I can inflict a little bit of fear or a little bit of doubt or a little bit of hesitation, then maybe you'll think twice about doing what you're assigned, what you're called to do. And the enemy's plan is to deceive us. And so I really honestly believe that if you stand for God, and just like Pastor Beard had said, you know, if you stand for God and you unite and you do what you're supposed to do, and there's so many people out there willing to help, then it minimizes, you know, that ordeal. And when you put it out in writing, then just like you can put out a writing, we can too. We can make a petition for millions of people, and that changes things. You know, that number and the crowd and the people that want to do right is what causes things to happen in government and politics.
Absolutely, absolutely. Shanti, you know, how do we, you know, maneuver in a society that is ultimately stopping God's plan?
Focusing on what God needs you to do as an individual, and then now as you're doing that, finding other like-minded people, because, yes, you're seeing a lot of people being a lot more selfish and greedy, but you will also find those who are also trying to make sure they do what they need to do as far as being obedient to Jesus and being a lot more selfless and being a lot more helping and considerate of those who do not have. And like Lady Tamika said, the enemy is going to always try to throw you off, but you have to, and I really like what Pastor Charlene said about, you know, you're out there eating and you may see someone who needs, but yet you get to go home to some food, even if you bought that sandwich, because when you got home, you didn't want to have to cook. You still have options. And there's been times where I have, you know, given up something, and it's like, well, dang, I really could use this now. I really need this now. But yet I have options. Even if my option is I have to go home and ask my mother for something, that's still an option. You know, these people don't really have, and it really calls, Jesus is really calling for us to be selfless. And even with you speaking, Pastor Steph, about, you know, them trying to find you and everything for you wanting to help, my crazy faith says, do what you got to do and take the fine, because God is going to provide you with whatever money, if he should allow them to even be able to give you a fine for you doing his work. he's going to provide you with the money that you need to now pay that fine. So don't even worry about that. As long as you know that this is what he's putting on your heart to do, whether it's on a small or bigger scale, just go ahead and do it. Do not allow anything to distract you. Do not allow this to now put fear inside of you, because that's what this is also. Don't allow it to put fear inside of you to now discourage you from doing the work that Jesus needs you to do. Because now, which one would you rather pick, the fine or now the consequence that's going to come possibly behind you, not, you know, you want to be on the left or the right. So these are things you got to think about. So make sure you're doing what you know God is putting on your heart to do.
Absolutely, absolutely. Boy, you ladies are really here. Yes.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to say, if the body of Christ will come together, you know, and instead of, you know, just being separated because my name ain't leading, if we come together and then we are able to be able to feed, because it could be more of us than it is for them. Because one thing that we all know, that if God is on our side and we're doing his work, he's with us. So we don't have to worry about that. And then on top of that, if one chase 1,000, two chase 10,000. So therefore, if we all put all, how many, like we talked about before, there's so many churches on one block, you know, and if
right.
we all confessing the same thing, if we all come together, just think, if we all stood in a line from block to block to block, avenue, 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 that we are be able to feed, there will be nobody hungry. We would have
right.
to worry about all of that. So if therefore, if we came together, you know, and okay, so today I'll come to you, to your service, and I'll help you on your block. Then you come, you
right.
know, and then it'll be with a gathering,
right.
showing the kingdom, showing how God can really be able to move mountains. Instead of us standing in the building, come outside and show the people what God
oh,
can
yeah.
really do.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
And okay, like I said, it's my passion.
Well, one of the things, I mean, you're making a very good point, Pastor Charlene, and one of the things I wanted to have you ladies close with was, you know, what is something else we can do, just one other thing that we can do to help be more Christ-like, you know, that people, a lot of people aren't willing to do or people aren't thinking to do. So we have this, the most common one where we're feeding the homeless. But, you know, what else is out here that we can do to help God's people, you know, and make a difference for those who are less, you know, able to get what we have? So, Pastor Charlene, being that you were talking, you know, what's another thing we can do? Not just give them something to eat, but what's another thing we can do for them?
Sitting and talking to them, seeing the needs that they have, because everybody has different needs. One of the things that, like, when they come in and we feed them, I use table to table and sit and talk to them, you know, and asking, how can we help you? Because some of them don't have the resources of things that where they can go. I think that that is one of being able to do that, having somebody where that who can be able to help the mental side of them, you know, and be able to help them be able to find a place to live, you know. So there's so many things. So it's like the resources, you know, and because they don't like to go into the shelter because they said that in the shelter they steal their stuff, they fight, and then they try to kill each other, you know. And so where that they don't have what they call security because they turn their backs and they don't help them. So I say that it's the resources that they need where that you'll be able to have a better understanding of where they came from and just having that ear, so that you'll be able to hear, because sometimes people just need to vent.
Okay, okay. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Tamika, you know, what's that other thing, you know, that we can do? We know that, you know, okay, so you stop us from feeding them publicly. I'll just do this. I can do this for them.
I think talking is definitely key, finding out what avenue you need help with, because homelessness strikes a whole lot of people, and the funny thing about it is you could see somebody every day and never know that they actually are homeless. You know, it's not always just in what they wear. You know, some people, and I just recently found out about someone who's dear to me who I had no idea was homeless, you know, and how did you get to where you are? And what is it that you need? Do you need access to, you know, a computer so that you can find the resources? Because realize some of them have are lost behind because they didn't have access to computers at the time, and now, you know, you need it, you know, for a job. You can't just walk up to a place with a piece of paper because they won't take it that way. You know, what is it that I can do to help you get up? You know, a lot of times we get to the point where, okay, I got there, you figure out how you're going to get there. We need to literally reach back and not just say it, but really do it indeed.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, all right. Thank you so much. Now, geez, what's that one thing that, you know what, you won't let me feed them in public? It's okay. However, I can still do what for them?
It came to mind to, like, provide programs, you know, performing arts programs, arts and crafts programs, you know, anything. A lot of times, you know, there's so much joy in doing the things that we love to do or learning that we're good at something. There's so much that, you know, a lot of times you don't know what you're good at or you don't know what you like to do until you're given the opportunity to do it. And a lot of these homeless people had full lives before they got to that point in their lives. You know, you don't know, you know, there's so many people who used to be stockbrokers or, you know, they were in the corporate world or they were in entertainment or, you know, they actually were successful, you know, at something. And you wouldn't know that just looking at them. But to now give them an opportunity to have access to something that, you know, they wouldn't necessarily have access to. And, you know, a lot of people, like I said, there's a lot of organizations that, you know, the foundation is to feed and to provide clothing and shelter, which is, you know, phenomenal because those things you need. But how many of us are actually willing to now sit and really take the time to find funding or to take money out of our own pockets to, you know, give them some type of program, you know, for them or for their children, you know, that they already took a lot of this out of the schools. You know, so even, again, for those people who may not necessarily be living on the streets, but, you know, their living conditions are bad or they just can't do in their homes or their apartments, but now they have these programs and things to look forward to that will bring them a lot of joy. That really just came to mind and really stood out for me.
Amen, amen, amen. You ladies have really done a phenomenal job today. Just talking about things that we can do to help be like Christ and to fulfill, you know, Christ's commission that he has set out for us to do. We give God thanks for you and your contribution. Thank you for filling in for our Pastor Ed and our Pastor KL. And we pray that you have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. You as well. Have a wonderful day, ladies.
Thank you. Thank you. All righty. Well, it has come to the time of the hour where we hold hands and we hold hearts and we go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come before you, God, and we say thank you. Thank you, God, because you are a God that answers all of our call in one way or another, and you called us this morning. And we thank you, dear God, because the only way our head could come up off that pillow, the only way we could even get to this point where we are either ministering or being ministered to, is because you called us and you tapped us on the shoulder and you said, get up. It was not the alarm clock. It was not the noise from outside. It wasn't because our bodies automatically get up at the same time every day. It was because you sounded the alarm this morning. That internal alarm that said, get up. Get up so that you could serve me. Get up so that I can invest in you today. And we say thank you, God. Lord, we are talking today, we're talking today about the laws that prevent us from doing your will and your way. And your word says, you know what? When you didn't clothe your brother, when you didn't feed your brother, when you didn't give your brother something to drink, when you didn't visit your brother, that's what you didn't do for me. And Lord, we are praying that everybody underneath the sound of my voice, whether it's they're listening to it live or they're listening to it later or next year, you should spare our lives. But there would be some response. That there would be a response to your call, God. We're answering your call today. And we're speaking up, God. You know, some people did not have the motivation before today. Some people didn't have an idea before today. Some people may have, you know, given it a try, and when it didn't work, they, you know, sat down. But Lord, we pray that somebody would be encouraged today. That even if they try to figure out something to do, that you just provided a way and an answer as to how we can get this job done. And we thank you, God, again for either calling us to ministry and, you know, helping us walk out this great commission and witness and minister to your people who actually got up and dialed in or called in. And we pray that the words that we use, God, were your words. That we did not think of what it sounded good to say, but that what you wanted us to say. We lift up those, God, who are listeners today. That they would be recipients of a great, amazing word that you have filtered through us, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, we pray that as they listen, that they would be encouraged to reach out to you more, to reach out to your people more, God, to increase a relationship with you, the Heavenly Father. Thank you, God, for just loving us in a special way today. We lift up Pastor KL before you, dear God, and, you know, his body is not feeling well. And in any level of willingness to come and minister today, God, we ask that you just bless his body, bless his mind, bless his words, bless his spirit, God, to continue to answer you according to your will and your way, God. We thank you, God, for Pastor Charlene's ability to be on. We thank you for Tamika and Shantice's willingness to be on, God. And that you granted all three of them a word today. And that they stood at attention. That they would be able to be used the way you have designed for them to be used today, God. And we're thanking you, dear Heavenly Father, for everything you do day in and day out. How you use us, God, in ways that we never considered before. God, we pray that if there's somebody who hears this broadcast, God, that if there was never any desire to do anything for your people, that today would be the day that the light would turn on inside of them and that they would just stand up an answer to your call. Listening for more of your will, your way, and your word, God, that we would become strategic in how we do things, that we would do things the way you have given us to do it. That even when Shanti said that, you know what, just move forward in the name of the Lord and let God pay the bills, that something would be given that would give us a level of incentives. Lord, we're going to lift up all of those who have lost their identity in a relationship, especially those in a marriage, God, where they're trying to live out, you know, what it is that you have given us to do, how it is that we need to serve our husband or our wife, God. And now we have the enemy who's lurking in that relationship. And we pray, God, that you would speak to that spirit. You would have those ears open, those eyes open, that they would hear from you and see you in a special way right now. That just at this broadcast, it would just be the light bulb that would be going off, the sirens and the alarms that would go off, that would say, no, I have to serve Jesus first. I need to please God in everything that I do. And I have to step away. If anything is causing me to go against the will of the Savior, the will of God, my Father, that I serve him first, and that I cannot move in a way that would be ungodly to satisfy anybody's loins, intellect, or desire in any manner. We ask you, God, to release them right now. Give them that freedom that only your truth can bring, God. And that they would feel liberated just because Jesus lives today. Thank you, God, for the very air we breathe, that we would use it to serve you, God. And that we would never fail to answer the call in any shape, form, or fashion. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. I tell you, you know, it's amazing, you know, as the ladies were speaking, you know, I was thinking, and I'm like, you know what, sometimes we have to go against the grain, or sometimes we got to get a little ingenuity into effect. And one of the things that I thought of, and it's something that God is, it's funny that this should come up today because it's something that God has marinated and has me working on. And one of the things I thought about when Pastor Charlotte was talking about, you know, they would not let you congregate around the corner. You know, the line got too long. And, you know, people called and they forget that it can be them, or maybe at one point it wasn't. You know, and that you were only answering a call and a need. And I said, all of the venues now have been, you know, mandated to only, you know, have people congregate who's vaccinated, but they have not mandated that for the church. So all these church buildings that we see, like Pastor Sean said, on five on every block, and she said, get together. But how's your own eatery? Feed them on the inside. You don't have, you know, make them a little more comfortable. Invite them in. They can't tell you you can't invite somebody into the church. You know, let's start to begin to get that ingenuity. There's always a will and always a way to get God's work done, and that's all I could think about. I'm like, okay, so I have a storefront. All right, don't let them congregate outside. Find a way to get them inside, get them to eat, give them whatever conversation, and work with, you know, why not have it in stages? You got three churches all on block. This building will do this. Then we move them to this location. to sit down and talk and pray with them. And, you know, the ladies talked about providing resources and some type of skill or activity that could help to brighten them. And, you know, sometimes it helps to give you an incentive and remember that you're not, you know, down and out all the way, that you can, you know, do this or do that. And you've just been out of, you know, out of sync for a little bit, but there's no way that you know, listen, there's a way we can get this done. There's a way to get this done. Like I said, if you got three churches in one block, oh, you got to mean that nobody even has to, you know, they don't have to be involved with what you do, because everything would be so organized. And that's something that God has really blessed me with, a level of organizational skill and ingenuity to kind of, all I need to hear is what you want to do, and already it's formulated in my head. And as soon as Pastor Charlotte said that, and as soon as I listened to the ladies talk, for every voice that went on, it just grew, because like I said, it's something that God has been kind of working with me on some things, and you know, we're going to get this job done as the people of God. We need to work together, as the ladies have said. You know, feeding the homeless and helping the homeless and facilitating this aid. You know, it's on many people's hearts, not just Pastor Charlene. It's a passion for many people. But unfortunately, we all don't have the same level of resources. And one of the things that God has shown me for the congregation and the ministry that He's given me is, we're not a large church. We're not a large body of Christ. We don't have, you know, a building, but we have skill, we have patience, and we have the know. I have in my possession, God has blessed me with a group of and they're young people, and they are so skilled and knowledgeable and willing, and they're hardworking. And what He has given me, which, like Pastor Charlotte touched on it, you know, everybody doesn't have to be the head. And what He's given me to do is to partner up. So I've gone to this church and I've said, you know what? Use us. Whatever, you know, God has put me at your disposal, use us to do this. And I've gone to this church and I've said, you know what? You want to do this? We can help you do that, because we can do this, 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 and this. And I've gone to the next church and I've said, you know what? Hey, you want this done? We're at your disposal. And they're like, well, what can you do? This, this, and this. And they're like, oh, we didn't even have anybody to do that. Well, you do now. We've got to learn to partner together. These three ladies have put together in their own way a whole entire plan. No three of them said the same exact thing. So now all we have to do is just infuse everything in order to get God's work done. We cannot work independently. And the ladies said it today. Okay? We're working against some large entities. Well, guess what? The people of God are larger. We have a God that can fight anything. Our God is bigger than anything and anybody out here. So let's band together and get the job done. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my ladies, my Due Time crew today, for holding us down and really blessing our lives today. I want to thank you for listening and being a part of our morning and helping us to get God's job done. Please accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to you. Until tomorrow, God spares, where it's Wow Wednesday, I love you.